Okay, let's get into this. We talk so much about content. Content is king, content is everything. But there's a phrase I came across in the research for today that really it really stuck with me. Content saturation.
It's a heavy term, isn't it? But it's so real for any business right now.
Right. It's this idea that, the shelf space online, Spotify, YouTube, whatever, it's infinite. You can upload forever.
There's no limit.
No limit at all.
Right.
But for businesses, they are completely bottlenecked. They can't physically make enough stuff to fill all that
It's
space.
a pure production capacity
Yeah.
problem. You have all this knowledge, right? It's sitting there in your documents, in your code bases, your internal wikis. But turning that raw information into, say, a polished video or a podcast is just, it's slow.
So slow and manual.
Manual, expensive. And honestly, I think most companies just kind of give up before they even really start.
And that is exactly what we are digging into today. We're looking at this collision of two really fascinating tools. So in one corner, we have Gitbook. If you're in the tech world, you definitely know it. It's the source of truth. It's where all the important stuff lives, docs, API specs, all of it.
The modern AI native doc platform. It's
Yeah,
like the company's brain.
totally. And in the other corner, you have this thing that's like an industrial engine. It's called Auto Content API.
Right.
And our mission for this deep dive is pretty simple. How do we use that engine to unlock all the value that's trapped inside Gitbook? How does a boring static text file become a viral video without anyone lifting a finger?
It's a fundamental shift from, let's say, manual creation to automated transformation. And the unit economics, which I know we'll get to, they're just absolutely wild.
I love when you talk unit economics, but first, let's set the scene with Gitbook. Because Hummer notes, this isn't just like Microsoft Word in the cloud. It's not Google Docs.
No, not at all. Gitbook calls itself a connected knowledge system. And for tech teams, it's really the gold standard, mostly because of a feature they call GitSync.
Okay, pause there. GitSync. I hear that all the time. Break it down for me. Why is that the killer feature?
So think of it like this. Usually, documentation is an afterthought, right? A developer writes code, ships it.
Forgets about it.
And then maybe 3 weeks later, a technical writer has to go figure out what happened and update some PDF somewhere. It's always out of date.
Right. The documentation is always lying. It's a classic problem.
Exactly. With GitSync, the documentation lives right alongside the code. So when a developer pushes an update to GitHub or GitLab, the docs in Gitbook update automatically.
Ah, so they're linked.
Inextricably.
Yeah.
They're always in sync. And now they even have this Gitbook agent, which actually monitors your docs and
Yeah.
suggests improvements.
So it's smart. It's like living documentation. But, and here's the big but for me, it's still
It's
text.
still text, and that's where all the friction is.
Because, look, I like to read, but if I'm on my commute or at the gym or just, scrolling on my lunch break, I am not going to sit and read a 50-page PDF on API rate limits. I'm just not.
And you're not alone. That's the whole problem with static knowledge.
Yeah.
You've got this incredible source of truth in Gitbook, but it's trapped in a format that demands like 100% of your visual attention. And in today's world of fragmented attention, that's a huge liability. If you're not meeting people where they are in their ears, in their video feed, you might as well not exist.
So if a company wanted to fix this today, the old way, they want to turn a Gitbook page into a video, what does that look like?
Painful. Extremely painful. You need an editorial team to write a script, then an audio team to record it, a video team for the visuals, a social team to chop it up.
That sounds like a lot of meetings.
It's thousands of dollars and weeks of work for one single piece of content.
Which is why nobody does it.
Precisely. It's the production bottleneck.
Yeah.
The truth is in Gitbook, but the cost to transform and distribute it is just way too high.
Enter Auto Content API. So this claims to treat content as a data transformation task. That sounds very robotic and cold, but the output is surprisingly human.
Well, it's the philosophy that matters. The argument is you don't need to create new ideas. You already have them in Gitbook. You just need to transform that data into a different format.
Format shifting, not creation.
Exactly, a format that fits where your audience actually spends their time.
Okay, let's talk about that first transformation Dotto Audio. We've seen a lot of buzz around Google's Notebook LM. You dump in a PDF, two AIs chat about it. It's cool.
It is cool. It's a great consumer tool. But for a business workflow, it's a complete nightmare. It's all manual drag and drop. There's no API.
Right, you can't build a system on top of
You
that.
can't automate a pipeline with drag and drop. Auto Content is really positioning itself as the enterprise alternative. It's programmatic. And because it plugs into things like Make.com or Zapier, you can build these zero-touch workflows.
Okay, let's make that real. I want to use the Changelog podcast example from our research because this blew my mind. Walk me through it step by step.
Okay, so imagine a software company. The devs finish a new feature, they push the code. GitSync automatically updates the documentation in Gitbook. We know that, Art.
Step one, check.
But then a webhook triggers.
Hang on, webhook? I always just nod when people say that. What is it actually doing?
Think of it like a digital tripwire.
Yeah.
Or like a bat signal. When the Gitbook doc updates, it sends a signal out saying, hey, something changed over here.
Got it. The bat signal goes up.
And Auto Content API sees that signal. It goes, reads the new section of the documentation, understands what changed, and instantly generates a release notes podcast episode.
And we're not just talking about a robot reading the text, are we? We've all heard that old text-to-speech. It's awful.
No, this is the leap. It generates a dynamic two-person dialogue, kind of like us. There's banter, there's back and forth.
Like, hey, did you see this new update?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it finally fixes that bug we all hated.
It sounds like a real conversation. It's that notebook LM style, but it's fully automated.
That's wild.
And there are a few specific audio features here that really solve some big business problems.
You mean the CEO paradox? The CEO paradox. Everyone, investors, customers, they all want to hear from the CEO. But the CEO has zero time to go record audio. They're the most expensive person in the building.
So you get a blog post that was ghostwritten by the marketing team.
Exactly. But with this, you can clone the CEO's voice securely, of course, and have them host the update podcast without ever setting foot in a recording booth.
That is. Wow. It's efficient, a little terrifying, but pretty amazing.
It lets the leader be present without actually being present. And then you've got global reach. Your Gitbook might be in English, but Auto Content can take that podcast and instantly translate it into, like, 50-plus languages.
So you push code in California, and 5 minutes later, a perfectly localized Japanese podcast about that update drops on Spotify in Tokyo.
Exactly. You've just expanded your total addressable market, your TAM, overnight, all by plugging an API into your docs. You're suddenly a native player in markets where you don't even have a team?
That is the definition of leverage. Okay, but audio is just one part of it. The sources are saying by 2025, video is going to be something like 82% of all internet traffic.
The visual web.
Yeah.
If you're not making video, you're pretty much invisible.
So how does this work for video? Because video is always the hardest and most expensive thing to make.
So they have an endpoint for this, something like Video Creed Shorts and an explainer capability. Just think about a really complex page in your Gitbook. Maybe a tutorial for user authentication.
Okay, yeah. Dense text, code snippets. Not exactly thrilling cinema.
Not at all. But the API crawls that page, it pulls out the key steps, and then it generates a 60 to 90 second video. It uses AI avatars you can pick, like professional woman or casual speaker. It writes the script, syncs the lips, adds subtitles, the works.
Wow. All those faceless content channels on TikTok and YouTube are huge right now. This is like faceless content as a service.
It is. But think about the business case. It's all about dwell time.
Right. For SEO.
Exactly. You embed a video on that Gitbook page and people stop scrolling. They watch it. That tells Google this page is valuable. The stat in the research said a page with video is 53 times more likely to rank on page one of Google.
53 times. That feels high.
It sounds high, but think about your own behavior. You land on a page with a video, you stick around. You land on a wall of text, you bounce. That bounce rate kills your ranking.
That's a fair point. I do that.
And it also cuts down on support tickets. Some people are visual learners. They watch the 60-second video, they get it, and they don't have to email your support team.
Okay, I have to ask about the cost here. Because I've paid for video production, it hurts the wallet. A cheap explainer is still a few hundred bucks.
The cost arbitrage, as they call it, is pretty significant. A manually made short video is going to be, what, $300 minimum?
Oh, easy. Probably more.
An API-generated video through Auto Content costs about 400 credits. On their business plan, that works out to roughly €4.
€4 compared to $300.
That's the math. And it lets you do what they call creative testing at scale. You can make 50 different videos for the price of one human one, see which version performs best, and then double down. You can't do that with a human team. You'd burn your entire budget in an afternoon.
You really can't. It becomes a volume game.
And it decouples your output from your headcount. That's the strategic shift.
I want to talk about the how for a second.
Yeah.
We keep saying API, which might sound a bit abstract, but our notes emphasize this idea of headless content production. What does that actually mean?
This part is crucial. Most AI tools you see, like Jasper or ChatGPT, they're built for humans to click buttons. You log in, you type in a prompt.
UI first.
Exactly. Auto content is API first. It's designed to be totally invisible, to just run in the background. It integrates with things like Make.com and Zapier.
So paint me that workflow picture again, but with the headless part in mind.
Okay, the zero-touch workflow. A developer writes her code, she pushes it to GitHub. GitBook sees it, updates the documentation.
Step one, done.
That update triggers the webhook, the bat signal.
Hmm?
The webhook pings Auto Content API. The API reads the new text.
Mm-hmm.
It generates the podcast episode. It generates the YouTube short. It even writes the social media copy. And then, and this is the headless part, it publishes them.
It actually pushes the MP3 to Spotify and the video file to YouTube?
Without a human ever clicking an upload button.
So the developer goes to get a coffee, and by the time she gets back to her desk, the marketing for her feature is already live.
That is the promise of headless content production.
There was one other feature in there that I thought was wild: deep research. Because my big worry with AI is always hallucination.
Mm.
What if the AI host starts promising features that don't exist?
Yeah. The safety valve.
Yeah.
Because you're right, LLMs can make stuff up, which is bad for marketing, but it's catastrophic for documentation.
Right. Your source of truth can't tell lies.
So the deep research endpoint doesn't just read the Gitbook page. It can actually browse the live web. It can go check ft.com or sec.gov.
So it's adding outside context.
Exactly. If your doc is about some new compliance rule, the AI can go look up the actual law that changed and cite it in the podcast. It makes the AI hosts sound much, much smarter and more authoritative.
That's the difference between just summarizing and actually synthesizing information.
Precisely. It's adding value, not just condensing. It's a grounding layer to stop the AI from drifting off into its own little world.
I want to zoom out a bit. We've talked about the mechanics. What does all this mean strategically? Our notes talk about something called the agentic web.
This is where Gitbook and auto content are so aligned. It gets a little technical, but Gitbook has this feature called LLMS.txt.
I saw that. It's like a robots.txt file, but for AI agents.
Yes. Robots.txt tells Google where to look.
Mm.
LLMS.txt tells AIs like ChatGPT or Claude how to read and set your documentation properly. You're structuring the data for machines to understand.
So we're not just writing docs for human eyes anymore. We're writing them for other AIs to read.
Correct. And auto content does the same on the output side. It can output structured JSON, FAQs, things like that. So you're creating this ecosystem where your source of truth in Gitbook feeds an engine that creates content optimized for both humans, the videos and podcasts, and for machines.
It's a complete loop. A dual-track strategy.
It is. And we shouldn't forget the internal use case here. Internal knowledge transfer.
Oh, right. For, like, onboarding new employees. But,
yeah, imagine you're a new hire. You're told to go read the company handbook, the security policy.
Mm.
It's just hours of reading boring Gitbook pages.
And let's be real, nobody actually reads it all. You skim it.
Right. But with this stack, a company can turn that entire internal knowledge base into a private podcast series just for onboarding.
So I can listen to the company security policy podcast on my drive into work.
Exactly. And because it's a conversational two-host format,
yeah,
you might actually pay attention. It turns homework into content.
It's knowledge transfer that doesn't feel like a punishment.
And it totally changes the economics of training, just like the credit model changes the economics of marketing.
Right. Let's touch on that credit model. Content is usually a fixed cost. You hire people, you pay salaries.
Mm-hmm. It's an operating expense, OPEX. Auto content shifts that to a scalable tech investment. You just buy credits. You have a big product launch this month. You scale up to a high volume plan, quiet month, scale down to amateur.
It's elastic.
It brings cloud computing economics to content. You pay for what you use, not for people sitting in chairs.
So, okay, let's bring it all home.
Yeah.
We started with content saturation. We've got Gitbook as the brain, the structured, accurate source of truth. And Auto Content API is the engine that blasts that truth out into every format.
Audio, video, social, yeah.
So what? What's the big takeaway for the listener right now?
I think it comes back to mental availability.
Mm-hmm.
To win in this environment, you have to be present. You have to be in your customer's ear, on their screen, in their feed, constantly.
And you just can't do that manually anymore. The math doesn't work.
It doesn't. The competitive advantage isn't just speed. It's presence. With a setup like this, you can be everywhere in every language for pennies on the dollar.
It's about being omnipresent without going bankrupt.
That's the goal.
I want to leave everyone with a final thought that popped into my head when I was reading about the Gitbook agent writing docs by itself and then auto-content making the podcast by itself.
Go on.
So we're entering a world where the documentation is literally writing itself. Then the podcast about that documentation is recording itself. The video is editing itself.
A fully automated loop end to end.
So what happens to the idea of authorship? Are we entering the era of the self-narrating company? If a company can talk and explain itself and publish content 24/7 without a single human in the loop, who is actually speaking?
That is the billion-dollar question, isn't it? When the brand itself becomes the creator, the editor, and the publisher, all through code, that fundamentally changes the relationship between a business and its audience. I feel like we're just scratching the surface of what that really means.
Something to think about. Thanks for diving in with us.
Always a pleasure.